Have you ever looked at someone and said, "Man, that person needs to be cut down a notch"? They're no better than the rest of us. Who died and made them king or queen? I know that I have done that so many times. So many times. It's so easy to be the observer and then suddenly go to being the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Maybe we need to be cut down a notch too. Actually, I'm going to get you to go to the next slide, which I can't read at the back anyway, so we'll look up here. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So Romans 12:3, that's a little bit of a punch in the gut, because sometimes we like to think of ourselves highly or at least higher than some other people. We can read this one over and over again, probably every morning, and still need to hear it again the next morning, and the next morning, and the next morning. And it's when we read stuff like this that we think, okay, maybe that other person that I said needs to be cut down a notch has the same problem that I do. That baggage that is holding them down, that those things that get in the way. Because, well, let's face it, we're all imperfect. We're all a product of the fall. Because we can't see what's inside of others. We don't know the whole story. And when we start to think that we do know the whole story, that's when we start to think, oh, we're better. It's so easy to do. In 1 Peter 5:5, he says, "All of you clothe yourselves with humility, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." Clothe yourself. That has that air of being saturated with humility. That can be something that's very challenging. I know it is for me. So it requires us to have an act of putting it on. That requires an intention on our part. So it's not something, like I said, that comes easy, but every day it's something that we do have to be intentional about putting it on. And if we look actually at the next verse, right after that, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Humble yourselves. We see this again. We see that we're actively told to humble ourselves. So it's not just saying, be humble, or what I like to say sometimes, humile. But there's this the action that's required of us. We need to actively humble ourselves. But let's not just focus on that top part there, saying humble ourselves, you know, pushing ourselves down somehow. But look what it says right after that. It says, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So we're not lifting ourselves up. We're letting God do that. Because we don't have the full story. We don't know everything. We're not perfect. But he is. He does. And he will lift us up. And that will happen at the right time. It says in due time. So, may not be right away. Sometimes we have to walk through the fire in order to get to that point. God's not interested in false humility. Charles Spurgeon said, "The throne of humility must be the heart. I do hate of all things that humility which lives in the face." Ouch. Yeah. I know I'm actually probably more guilty than others of doing that, of putting it on this false humility. But I do think as Canadians, we kind of have that in spades already. Internally, I think we're kind of famous for that amongst ourselves. We may put on this air of, the great Canadian who's full of kindness and will help you out and all this humility. But when we do that, what's the next thing that we turn around and do? We brag about it. We say, oh, we're not like those people down south. We're all humble and whatnot, and we're suddenly taking pride in our own humility. And that's putting on that face. That's not putting humility in our hearts. Because if we were truly putting that in our hearts, we wouldn't be jumping right to the celebration of that. And the next one after that. Oh, actually, go back one. This is fun. I feel so powerful. I mean, humble, yes. So we want this humility of the heart, but where does that humility come from? How can we ensure that our humility is genuine? I mean, it really is hard. Like when you start thinking about it, it's like, okay, I'm called to be humble. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be humble in this way. And then suddenly you're like, okay, yeah, I'm doing good because I'm humble in this. And then it's like this cycle. And yeah, I won't claim to have the best handle on that, but this is the struggle. And I think that probably most of you feel something similar when we actually ask ourselves, am I really humble? But I think that for it to be in the heart, for it to come out naturally out of our hearts, it has to come from a place of identity, where our identity comes from. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So right off the bat, right in Genesis, it's saying God created all people in his image. That's you and me, that's the people we love, that's the people we hate, the people who are so broken that they do horrendous things. And it's so hard to reconcile that in our brains sometimes, that everybody is made in the image of God, and we have to fight against a feeling of superiority in that. But I truly believe that, when we get in the right frame of mind and we see ourselves as made in the image of God and we see others made in the image of God, it levels the playing field. And all of a sudden, this humility starts to become a little bit easier because we're not saying there's something naturally in me that's putting me above somebody else. And that doesn't mean that we're all the same, obviously. Like, we're all different. We have different strengths, different giftings from God. But we are all image bearers of God. Like, that is our calling, is to be God's image bearers in the world. All of us, everybody. And hopefully, the way that we interact with others helps them realize that calling as well. And the thing is, when we think of all people being created in the image of God, we can't even envision ourselves logically as being above other people. Because then we're saying we are created in God's image and this and that. So we've gone from being in our minds, what is the ultimate calling, and we've added more stuff on top of it. And that gets us in trouble over and over again. We have to take that cruft off the top, of just being image bearers and not adding those things on top. And we can see that, heck, even Jesus did it. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. So he is perfect. Jesus is perfect. And he chose to be humble. So why can't we? If we are imperfect, if there's one person who should lord things over other people, it would be the person who's perfect. And even he didn't do it. What did he do? He led by example and humbled himself. And his humility comes from his identity. His identity is being in very nature God, right? So we are the image bearers of God. He is God by his very nature. And he exercises this humility. And that comes straight from his nature. And that should be reflected in us as we bear his image. When it comes to addiction, our pride can hold us back. Pride being pretty much the opposite of humility. Our pride fools us into thinking that we can do it ourselves. Our pride fools us into thinking that we don't need to surrender, that we don't need a higher power, that we really don't need to rely on others, that we can do it ourselves. And it is in our sin nature, our fallen nature, to do that. But that's that pride coming again. And we have to really battle against that. And the next step beyond that, that pride will do, it'll push us out of community. It'll push us to be alone. And once we've reached that spot, we're drifting. We have nothing to hold on to. So we really do need to make sure that we have that community around us. We need a healthy community, and that healthy community involves humility, not just on our part, but on everybody's part. We looked earlier at Philippians 2, 8 to 11, but let's go to the next slide and take a look at the verses leading up to that, because it kind of gives you an indication of why Paul is saying what he's saying about Jesus humbling himself. He's saying, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used or grasped or to be made for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of a man. Did you notice the first words there? In your relationships with one another. So that humility has to be number one with our relationships with the people close to us, especially, but also people who aren't so close to us. And in the middle there, it says, equality with God, something to be used to his own advantage. So, he's the one who has this power, and he's deciding not to use it to his advantage. We don't necessarily have that same power, but we still try to use it to our advantage again and again. We're always seem to be grasping for that power that is found in being an image bearer of God already inherently, but we try to manufacture it outside of that image. But he didn't just stop there, right? It's not just him withholding the power, withholding using it for his advantage. He turns around and makes himself a servant. So he's taking what he could use to lord over other people or to use to his own advantage. And what does he do? He uses it for somebody else's advantage. And that's a powerful lesson for me. especially because I often think about humility as being, you know, just lowering yourself. But instead, it's really beyond that. It's a call to action, just a different type of action than is really inherent in our desire. C.S. Lewis said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. And I think that really comes out in that previous verse that we were just looking at, where we are called to use what God has given to us, not for our own advantage, but for the advantage of others. That doesn't mean that we have to think of ourselves as less than others, because that would be wrong too. That's not fulfilling your calling as an image bearer. Once again, if you're made in the image of God, you're called to fulfill that calling, or that, as we read, vocation in the book that we're studying on Wednesday nights, which you should all come out and pick up on that audiobook. That's what I read, because it's significantly easier to handle than words on the page. But that's me. But yeah, that humility is not self-loathing or self-deprecation. It's actually generosity. And I think that was the number one thing that hit me when preparing for this was, oh, okay, it's not just about deferring to others and things. It's actually actively, you know, advocating for others. It's actively serving others. It's actively sharing with others, whether that's sharing information or food or clothes or a kind word or just anything that somebody else may need, and it's going to look different for every single person. So pride takes, we were talking about pride earlier, so pride is about elevating yourself or thinking more or boasting about yourself, and it has this air of taking, whereas humility is about giving. So, the point. First thing, be honest with yourself. So we need to take that time, like I was mentioning earlier about that whole wrestling through, you know, asking yourself, am I truly humble? Or at the end of the day, was I really being humble in that circumstance, or was I doing it to make myself feel better, or, you know, what was my motivation behind that? And that's something that it just takes time to wrestle through. Wrestling through it at the end of the day and committing to it at the beginning of the day. You don't have to be good to be Jesus's friend. You just have to be honest. So we just really need to be honest with ourselves when we're wrestling through this and asking ourselves those hard questions. Number two, be free in your identity in Christ. We have nothing to prove. We are image bearers. We don't need to add those things on top. We so often feel the need to prove ourselves to others, whether it's on Facebook or in our conversations or, you know, how we curate our life, you know, what things we choose to show to other people and what things we choose to hide from other people. And that idea of being, you know, an open book can be really scary. Really scary to be open with others, to let people know that you have struggles. But sharing that, you know, opens this door of humility. It also opens that door of community, of drawing people closer to ourselves, to one another, and ultimately, we hope, toward God. And we're free to abandon finding fulfillment in other things if we really focus in on this identity in Christ. Then we're not trying to add those things. We're not searching for the next fix. But really wrestling through that identity in God can be very difficult to do. There's a really good book that I read concerning that. It's called Hidden Faces. Oh, there, Susan has one. Yeah. I don't know if it's for sale by her. but no, seriously though, Josh talks a lot about identity, and like it's from tip to toe. And in the process of helping review or edit on that, there was just so much that I picked up that I hadn't thought of before. So I encourage you all to take a look at that. So number three, we want to use our humility to benefit others. So those are the three big points, right? So we want to be honest with ourselves. That's introspection. We want to be free in our identity in Christ, unburdening ourselves, and then using that humility to the benefit of others. Because if we're not doing number three there, then is it really humility in the first place? It's more about me, those first two. That third ushers us in to the bigger picture of what we're really fully called toward. So I will leave you with a quote from Lego Batman, quoting Michael Jackson. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. Who? Next week will be our next step. And I don't know what it is, so we'll have to look on Facebook and find out what it is. And that is all I got.